Hello, welcome to BBC Bite Size from the Naked Scientists, Chris Smith and Kat Arney. In part one, we found out about food chains and how energy is lost with every step of the chain. So Kat, is there any way we can reduce how much energy gets lost?
Well, there certainly is, because this issue becomes really important with farming. Obviously, you want your food production to be as efficient as possible. Two ways to reduce energy loss include preventing animals from moving about too much and also keeping them nice and warm.
And why is that important?
Well, mammals and birds like pigs and chickens keep a constant body temperature, and so this means they lose a lot of energy. And they also use energy to move around. So keeping pigs and chickens in warm sheds with a little space to move around makes for more efficient food production. But there is a moral issue here, as it's not really a very nice life for the animals.
So what can we do about that?
We have to try and strike a balance between the needs of farmers and consumers and animal welfare. And it's clear that it's a very complex issue with lots of things to consider, such as cost, quality of the food and animal rights.
Well, let's change tack for a bit and look at some of the maths involved in food production. How can we work out how efficient a farm actually is?
We can calculate something called energy efficiency. Before you start, you need to know that energy is measured in kilojoules. So let's take a bullock. We'll call him Billy. Let's say that Billy's eaten 100 kilojoules of energy in the form of grass. If he excretes 63 kilojoules in the form of feces, urine and gases, and uses 33 kilojoules in respiration to make energy, that only leaves 4 kilojoules for making new muscle. So that's all the energy that can be passed on to the next step in the food chain.
Doesn't sound like very much, just 4 kilojoules from every 100.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's not that efficient. In fact, if you do the sums, it works out with an efficiency of about 4%.
But presumably some food chains are more efficient than others. They're not all like that.
Yes, food production's more efficient the shorter the chain. Imagine 1 hectare of land. If you keep beef cattle on it, they'll produce 0.3 tonnes of beef, which is about 1,200 steaks. But if you use the same land to grow wheat, you could get 7.5 tonnes of grain, and that makes about 11,500 loaves of bread. So a meat-based diet might need 7 times more land than a vegetarian diet.
So we've looked at food cycles. Let's take a look at another cycle, the carbon cycle. What's that all about?
All cells, whether they're animal, plant or bacteria, contain carbon. This is because they all contain proteins, fats and carbohydrates, and carbon's an essential part of these molecules. For example, plant cell walls are made of cellulose, that's a carbohydrate, while cell membranes are made of fatty molecules called lipids.
But how does that fit into the cycle?
Carbon starts in the atmosphere in the form of carbon dioxide. That's used by plants to make sugars that get built into carbohydrates, proteins and fats. Then the carbon's passed along from one organism to another along food chains. It's also lost in waste products or breathed out. And some microorganisms feed on waste or dead animals, absorbing carbon or losing it as a byproduct of respiration. Ultimately, carbon ends up back in the atmosphere again, and that's the carbon cycle.